Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday night. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Minister Diane Adams. And we have a Bible study, and we explore the word plain and simple. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. I thank God for allowing me this opportunity. And I thank God for each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule so that we could come together in fellowship in the Word of God. I don't think there's nothing more beautiful than that. I think this is a beautiful thing that God has ordained for us. And I thank each and every one of you that we take it serious and we take the opportunity that he has given us and do what we do. This is a trying time. Many people have many things that they're going through. I have several requests for prayer. Some dealing with the death of loved ones. Others dealing with just storms in their life. But I want to let you know that God is able to see you through. You have to just hold on to God's unchanging hand, for he will carry you. You know, there's the poem or the little story about the footprints in the sand, and there was a man, he said he was walking with God all the time, and they walked on the sand, and you know, he could see the footprints in the sand, and it was two sets of footprints all the time. And the man was having some struggles in his life, and he looked in the sand to see the footsteps, to see the footprints, and there were only one set of footsteps. And he went and he questioned God that why, when he's in the worst time, that there's only one set of footprints, as if God was just not with him, or God was letting him walk through by himself. And God told him, he said, my child, you saw those one set of footprints. He said, I wanted you to know that they were mine. Because at that time, I was carrying you. What a mighty God we serve. God will never leave us or forsake us. We just have to hold on. There's so much going on in our political world. Our political leaders are just doing what they do. And, you know, the Bible told us that there would be days like this. The Bible say in time to come, it will be times when everyone would only do what seemed it right to themselves in their own eyes. And that's what's happening. You know, you could see something for what it is, and they try to make it be something else. And it's so sad that plenty of times people could believe it. But no matter what happens, I want you to know that God got you. You're his child. And he will see you through. Well, our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Numbers. We're going to be in Numbers, the 14th chapter. the 10th through the 20th verse. And the title of our lesson is God's promise was delayed but not denied. Do you know plenty of times in life, you know, they say when you ask God for something, it's either yes or no or not. There's a lot of things that God has that he wants to do for us. But because sometimes we don't walk in faith, sometimes we're disobedient, or sometimes we just want to do it our own way. And because of that, if it's something that God has for you, the scripture says, it's for you. If God said it, he's going to do it. So sometime you could delay your blessings. And we're going to see a little bit of that in our lesson tonight. But y'all have to remember, God has a plan for your life. And everything that he has planned is going to come into fruition. And you got to stay in position to receive it. So we have to do what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, to receive. So if you're looking for something from God and it don't seem to be working out, evaluate yourself. Check yourself out. And just see if you need to do something a little bit different to get something a little bit different. God loves you. And he's working it out for your good. So at this time, I'm going to play the song. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace. And then we're going to explore the word of God together. Be prayerful for our Bible study. Be prayerful for one another. And we'll be right back and explore the word of God together.
What are you trying to say, Yolanda? Look, forget about all that other junk. This battle ain't yours. It's the Lord. Thank you.
Can a caller press the one button? Hello? Can y'all hear me now? Caller. We trying to get the one moment, y'all. Hello. Y'all, please bear with me.
Yeah.
You could hear me now?
Yeah, it just came in. I wasn't here yet first.
All right. You could hear me now?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Thank you guys for being patient. God has something in store for tonight. So we're going to just go ahead. So, I don't know what part y'all didn't hear, but the prayer went up. And we're gonna do this. So what I'm going to do is start with the since some time has passed. Thank y'all for holding on and calling me on the phone and giving me prompts to let me know that something was wrong in the studio, and I thank you guys for that. So I'm going to start with the background, and I want you to know the book of Numbers is a book of the Old Testament. It's among the first five books of the Bible written by Moses called the Law, or the Pentateuch. You see, Numbers is named for the numbering of the people of Israel. In other words, God ordered Moses to take a census. So since taking census is nothing new. You see, God had Moses to send 12 spies, one from each of the tribes of Israel to Canaan to search the promised land that he had promised Abraham that he would give to his descendants. You know, Numbers 13 and 18 tell us why. That scripture, Numbers 13 and 18, tells us that they were to see the land and they were supposed to report what was in it and talk about the people that dwell there. And he wanted to know whether they seemed to be strong or weak. And he wanted them to come back and give a report. You see, God had already promised them the land, and he had given them the land, and the land was theirs. But he just sent them there so he could hear their response. He wanted to see if they believed by faith or walked by sight. You see, God had provided all of the provisions, but they had to believe it. Come on, y'all. To receive it. You see, they searched the land for 40 days. They came back with a report, and the spies said, yes, the land flowed with milk and honey. They say that the cities around them was walled, and the people are strong, and some are even giants. And we seem like grasshoppers unto them. This would be too much for us to conquer. God sent out 12 spies, and they came back, and the report I just read was from 10 spies. 10 of the spies gave this evil report. Oh, but there was two. One was Caleb, and one was Joshua, who rebuked them, saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? And if God is with us, we shouldn't fear anything. You see, this report that came back, it angered God. So he decided to delay his promise, but he didn't deny it. And he decided, and he knew what he was going to do, so he would use this time of the delay to really prepare them for the promise. You know, you have to be prepared to receive what God has for you. You know, God is always preparing us for everything. You know, some of the things that you're doing in your life now, you don't even know where it came from. But God had been putting that in your spirit, and now it's being manifest. You see, and that's what happened, and this is where our lessons start tonight. And we're going to go into the scripture. Right now, we're going to read Numbers 14 chapter, the 10th through the 12th verse. And the scripture reads as follows. But all of the congregation laid stone them with stone. But all of the congregation laid stone them with stones, saying they wanted to just stone them to death. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it ere, which means before, how long will it be before they believe me? And look what God says. For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make thee, talking to Moses, a great nation and mightier than they. You see, once the people heard the report of the 10 spies and they believed them, all their hope was gone. And they thought that the plans of entering the promised land was gone. They believed that how God had planned it seemed like it just won't work. Now they thought that they would surely die in the wilderness, not having faith in their God. You see, the people believed the report of the 10 spies and became angry with God. And they were angry with him because they felt he wasn't doing it the way they thought he should. Or somehow God had now made a mistake. You know, God does not make mistakes. Then they were so mad with Moses and Aaron for leading them there. Now, they must have forgot they wanted to get out of Egypt, and they had been going to Moses to ask God to send a deliverer to get them out of Egypt. They're out of Egypt. God done promised them the promised land. Come on, y'all. I'm just talking about people. People back then, and it's something like people even now. And you see, they even decided to stone Caleb and Joshua for not agreeing with them. But this is what happened. God stepped in. And this lets us know that God always protects his people. You don't know how many incidents in your lives where God stood between you and your adversary. Come on, y'all. See, when they was ready to stone them and they was talking trash to Moses and talking trash to Aaron and trying to stone Caleb and Joshua, God stepped in. You see, it's like when God stepped in, when he rescued the three Hebrew boys out of the fiery furnace, or when he delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He has many times stepped in for you and stepped in for me. You know, you got to realize, like I brought up the story of Daniel and the lions den and the Hebrew boys, God gave the word of God. And he used everything in the word of God which he inspired for us to realize who he is and how he operates. And he always said he have no respect to person. So when you see this, you have to begin to believe what he did for them, he'll do for you. But you see, God stepped in and he expresses his disgust with the children of Israel. He was tired of their blatant complaining and disbelief. He is now saying, look, enough is enough. As if to say, this is the straw that broke the camel back after all I have done for you. You see, and this wasn't the first time. If you know how their journey started off in the wilderness, how they made the golden calf, and they mumbled with Moses. You know, they got Moses so upset that he hit the rock when God told him speak to it, and Moses didn't even get to go to the promised land. So God, you know, this wasn't the first time that they displeased God, and history has proven it won't be the last. You know, God said, after all the signs I have given you, when is enough enough? He told them, when you were in bondage in Egypt, I sent Moses to deliver you. Come on, y'all. I sent 10 plagues on Egypt showing my power to the Egyptians and to you as well. I was trying to get Pharaoh to let my people go, and when he didn't, I turned their water into blood. He said, I sent frogs and lights and flies, and I killed their livestock. That's what I'm saying, y'all. I'm talking about the God we serve, how he protect and do things to deliver his people. And that's the same thing he's doing in your life, but you got to believe it. You see, then God told Moses to get some ashes and scatter them towards heaven, and where they fall, burrows would break out upon all of the Egyptians, and it would form sores. Then he rained hail, he sent locusts, and then he made everything so dark that it was so dark that they could feel the darkness, and he left it like that for 3 days. But Pharaoh didn't budge. Then God killed all of the firstborn in Egypt. He started with Pharaoh, went to the servants, and then he killed all of the firstborn of all the animals. If that was not enough for you to know and understand my sovereignty, which is that I could do what I want to do, whenever I want to and how I want to and even why I want to you. He said that wasn't enough after the other 9 plagues I showed you that you don't see my power. You don't understand my love for you. You don't understand how far I'll go for you. He said then if you still wondering, he said I told you to take and put some blood on the doorpost. And I'm going to send a dead angel who will kill the firstborn in the houses of the Egyptians that were not covered by the blood. But it's going to pass over your homes. You see, all of these plagues happened to the Egyptians. And the children of Israel was not touched. Then when Pharaoh decided to let the people go. And when God told him, when you leave, ask, and whatever you ask for, you will receive it. Come on, y'all. He didn't want them to leave empty-handed. And when you got to the edge of the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his army had a change of heart, and they were chasing you. And I felt that you had nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. He said, what I did, I parted the Red Sea and you crossed over. What a mighty God we serve. And here we see they still doubted him. You know, what else do God have to do? You know, we walk around in this world and we share the word of God, and they have so many people who don't believe and won't accept Christ as their Savior. And then though there are those who have accepted Christ and became Christians, and we still don't totally believe, we sometimes walk in doubt. But I want to ask you tonight, how much is enough? What else could God do to let you know how much he loves you? How much he is willing to do for you? And how much he done already did for you? He gave his only begotten son. He allowed his spirit to dwell within our hearts. And we still sometimes act like we need something else. And you would say, why you figure we need something else? Because the way you're doing with what you got now. You see, so many people often express that if they had just seen one of these marvelous acts, that they would trust, believe, be obedient at most of the time, and would never doubt God. But I come to tell you today, God has been protecting you from dangers seen and unseen, and he's constantly fighting your battles and working all things out for your good. And if you take time right now and look back over your life, you will see all the red seas that God parted for you to bring you to the other side of your storm. And because of that, we all should want to do better. Now, God is saying to them, all right, this is the way y'all want to handle it. And that's what he's telling us with our lives, y'all. God said, you have done everything you wanted to do, how you wanted to do, when you wanted to do, or if you want to do. I asked you to read. I asked you to study. I asked you to give. I asked you to love. He said, but you know, you do it when you fit your agenda. You see, God told them, you have done everything you wanted to do, but now it's my time. God is long-suffering, but God is not to be played with. And yes, we're going to see tonight, God said enough was enough. He said, I will send pestilence, I will disinherit, and I'll make Moses the great nation, replacing you. Come on, y'all. Let him be the chosen nation. That's deep. And then 13 says, and Moses said unto God, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. He said, the Egyptians are going to say, yeah, he done brought all these people out of Egypt from under us. Yeah, he did that. he said, and they will tell to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art amongst this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. If now, 15, verse 15, now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, 16, because the Lord was not able to bring his people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he had slain them in the wilderness. Could you believe it? But that's Moses talking to God, right? Moses now become an intercessor for the people, just like Jesus, who is constantly interceding to God on our behalf for our unfaithfulness and unbelief. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing new under the sun. When you read that Old Testament, or whenever you read the Word of God, see what God is talking to you and how you could correlate what he's saying with what's going on now in the world and in your individual life. You see, Moses reminds God he was with his people through the danger seen and unseen. Moses telling him all you did for the people, you know, why give up now? He's pleading. He's saying if you kill them all, you know, it ain't going to look good. Moses saying, you know, you fed them from food out of heaven. Their clothes and their shoes never wore out. And you gave them water for a rock. Then Moses tell him how he guided them by pillars of cloud in the day and pillars of fire by night. Moses told God that the word would get out. He was not able to accomplish what he started or complete his promise, that the other nation would believe that God was not able to bring his people into the land he promised. So they would say that God killed them. Watch this, y'all. God killed the people to cover up his shortcomings. How far from truth is that? God is not like us. He doesn't care what people say about him, because he know who he is. God know what he's doing. He know what he have done, and all that he has promised to do. And he also know why. His will is perfect, and God is willing and able to do everything that he orchestrated and designed in his master plan for all of us. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 said, I know the thoughts that I have to you, said the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you an expected end. And you see, when we look at the attributes of God of being omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, God knows everything before the foundation of the world. So God knew this too. God knew what he was going to do even before Moses began to talk to him. You got to remember, God know what he's doing even if you can't see it. And the last verses say, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great. This Moses talking to God. See, he talked to him about that, about what the people might say or how they might, how it might look to somebody else. And now he's going another way. Watch this, 17. And now I beseech ye, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken. Now he's using God's words on God. And that's okay, because the Bible teaches us when we pray, we could pray the word of God. We could tell God, you say it, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You could tell God, you told me I would be the lender and not the borrower, and you'll put my enemies under my footstool. God don't care if you come to him like that. And that's what Moses was doing right now. He said, now beseech ye, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty. He said, I know you're going to forgive. I know you're long-suffering. But he said, I know that. I also know that no means clearing the guilty, saying, you know, when you the guilty gonna pay for what they do. That's what Moses told him. See, you got to speak the word of God right. You can't say you merciful, but then you're gonna do whatever you want to do, and then want him to respect that. No, he said, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. 19. This is Moses interceding. He said, pardon, I beseech thee. See, he's coming to him humble. He's coming with respect. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquities of the people according unto the greatness of your mercy. Moses is saying, you are merciful God. And watch, look what he tell him. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. He said, you've been forgiving them? And 20 said, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. God took, you know, Moses at his word. You see, God, Moses, remind God here of his many attributes and his power. He tell him, you know, you're long-suffering, you're great in mercy, you're forgiven. And he told him he had forgiven a people all the way from Egypt to now. So in essence, Moses was saying, Lord, please just give them one more chance. How many times we ask for one more chance? One more chance. And by no means clearing the guilty. You know, but I want you to notice, Moses made the plea. Moses interceded. And Moses went to God. But Moses didn't have the ability to change the will of God or make God change his mind. Come on, y'all. God knew what he was going to do before Moses' plea. In fact, he knew before the foundation of the world that this would happen. But now he's using this to see how Moses is going to react. You know, I don't know if you caught that in a lesson, because when God said, I will take and make you a great nation. Come on, y'all. You know, if Moses was greedy, Moses said, golly, I got the opportunity. You know, I could just let God go on. I don't need to plead for the people. I don't need to pray for the people. I don't need to intercede for the people and let God take them out. And then I'm going to become the nation. Greed. But you see, God offered Moses the opportunity to become a great nation, even greater than the Israelites, by killing him. Moses passed the test. He passed up the offer, and he cried out for the people. How many times you let yourself go for the advancement of the of others? God said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But God could not allow their sins to go unpunished. God could not allow their sins to go unpunished. You see what happened when God told Moses, I pardoned them. God forgave their sins, but the consequences of those sins were upon them. You see, their sins of murmuring and disbelief and lack of faith caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years for something that only took a few days. You see, they went out and scouted the land for 40 days and came back with an evil report. So God said, because you went out for 40 days and you came back with this evil report, I'm going to add a year for each day you scouted the land. That's how and why they wandered for 40 years. And then he told them every male over the age of 20 is going to die in the wilderness, and they will not see the promised land. Their carcasses was going to lie in the wilderness on the grounds. And you see, their sins caused their generations a delay from the land of milk and honey longer than necessary. You see, your sins could follow you. See, in the scripture, he told him, about, you know, his generations. He said in that verse we read, it was the 18th verse. He said, the Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generations. You know, I was asked the question tonight, do your children have to pay for your sins? It's not always the case of your children paying for your sins, but your sins does not just affect you, because they gave that bad report, which was because of disbelief and not trusting God and all of those things, and they had to wander for 40 years. Their children would have been in a promised land enjoying the milk and honey 40 years earlier. So the sins of those did affect the generations. And that's what he's saying. You know, we could do some things in our lives that could affect our children or our grandchildren. So you have to be careful about what you do, because the consequences for what you do, you could do the sin, but you don't get to pick the consequences. And here I'm about to close. Here we see that God delayed the promise. He didn't deny it, but he used his setback of time to prepare them for the promised land. You know, I say we live in a land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. And we have to realize God is preparing us for where he's going to bring us to. You know, we are always being prepared for what God has for us. So we have to realize and keep in mind how we do down here reflect how and what we have over there. Because Jesus said, I'm coming back with my rewards in my hand, and I will pay every man according to his deeds. The Bible in Revelation talks about the crowns that going to be given out for those who did whatever it takes to receive that particular crown. So it's important what we do here. it's real important how we act, how we treat one another. Because God, Jesus is coming back. And you're going to have to give account for your deeds, not for your soul. Because your soul is secure. It's sealed. It's locked up by the Holy Ghost. And no one can remove the seal but Jesus Christ. But as we look at this lesson for tonight, God had did all that was necessary. He had given them the land. He has provided the provisions. And yet they doubted and complained and always finding something wrong. That's so many people today. We have to evaluate ourselves. We have to check ourselves, because if you don't evaluate yourself, you may think everything you're doing is right. And when you get ready to evaluate yourself, don't use another person as a measuring tool. Use Jesus and the Word of God. The battle was not theirs. It belonged to the Lord. Everything God had promised them up to that point, he had did it. Then they get at this point, and then it's, you know, they doubt him again. But I want to let you know, God got tired. He said, enough is enough. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And God allowed his wrath to fall upon the people. That's our lesson for tonight. I want to thank each and every one of you for staying tuned, and some people even hung up and they called me on another phone, and some hung up and they came back. Hallelujah. It be that way sometime, you know. And I ain't, you know, saying nothing, but I know, you know, I came so ready the day, you know, and this happened, but, you know, God still allowed his message to go forth. And I'm sure there's something, if it's no more than a half a sentence for somebody to want to do better, or want to know more. And that's the purpose of Bible study. So we have a caller that wanted prayer. Her niece died, and they want us to pray for the family. I think her name is Moesha. I think that's what it was. But God knows who we talking about. And Sister Elaria, since you pressed the one button to let me know that you could hear me, I'm going to ask you if you would like to pray. And if there's someone else who would like to pray, because we need prayers, y'all, you could press the one button on your phone and pray as well. If anybody want to ask a question about the letter, about the lesson, make a comment, anything like that, you could press the one button on your phone as well. Sister Elaria, I open your mic.
Thank you, Lord God. God, we just come right now, Lord God, lifting up those that are heavy burden, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, I know you're able to bind a broken horse right now, Lord God. God, we're praying on behalf of the sister that lost her niece, oh God, that you would touch hearts right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we intercede for those other families that have lost loved ones throughout this week, oh God, throughout this month, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, oh God. God, and you won't put on us no more than we can bear, your word declares, Lord God. And we know if they die in the Lord, absent from the body is present with the Lord. But God, I know we have feelings, Lord God, and our heart aches when we lose loved ones. But I know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And I know you give peace that passes all understanding, God. God, and I know you bind up broken hearts because you bind it up mine, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, for moving on the behalf of everyone on the line tonight, Lord God. Those that are listening by radio, those that are on the computers, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, Lord. God, we just want to walk closer to you, Lord God, because we realize that we're living in perilous times, Lord God, and we're in the last days, Lord, and we just want a closer walk with Jesus, because your word says that we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. And we realize that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and that you are our Lord and our Savior, our healer, our deliverer. And God, you said, who the Son makes free is free indeed. So we thank you for giving us freedom, O God, and we at liberty to praise and worship you, Lord God. We at liberty to cry, Abba, Father, because you truly are our Father. And God, I know that you can give the peace of God that passeth all understanding through any situation. And you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but your word declares that you know how to deliver us out of them all. And we just want to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth, oh God. And even those that are having problems, oh God, understanding, I pray that you would open up the eyes of their understanding. God, I thank you for anointing our head that we would have the mind of Christ, oh God. Anointing our eyes that we would have spiritual eyes, eyes that can see. God, I thank you for anointing our ears that we can hear your voice and follow after the Spirit and have keen discernment, oh God. God, I thank you for anointing our lips, that we will give you the fruit of our lips, oh God, giving you praise, honor, and glory. And most of all, God, I thank you for anointing the heart, because you said in your word to let not our heart be troubled. So I declare that there is no trouble in our hearts, oh God, that we are at peace with God and at peace with man, oh God, that your peace will rest, rule, and abide with each and every one of us, oh God. And we just thank you, and we praise and magnify the name of Jesus, because it is at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord, and he is the Lord of God, and he is the King of kings. And God, I just thank you for lifting up burdens this afternoon, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, and I magnify and glorify and I praise and worship your name, because it is you, and it is in you that we move and we live and we have our being. And I call it all done in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. God, you're worthy. Worthy of the praise, oh God. God, I thank you, and I'm thanking you in advance for those that you're still calling out of darkness into your marvelous light, that you're saving, oh God. I thank you for those that you're healing, oh God. I thank you for your miracle working power, oh God. Those that you're performing miracles on, oh God. Those that are battling with cancer, I thank you for lifting them up right now in the name of Jesus, because your word declares that you heal all man of sickness and diseases, oh God, that not all sickness is unto death, but that some you would raise up, that you would be glorified through the circumstances. And we just bless your name. We magnify and glorify your name, oh God. You're worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackey. Well, God got us through another lesson. Really, it's another month. This is our last lesson in September. And the month is rolling so fast. Next week we'll be in October. So I want to thank you guys again for sticking with me tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back on next week. I want you to know that I love you, and God does too. And we should learn how to love one another with our whole heart. Pray for our Bible study. In the mighty name of Jesus. That's our lesson for tonight. Good night, and be blessed.